Deep mental prayer is only for priests, religious, or the seriously faithful. Or is it? Catholic Parents Online is next. Hello and welcome to Catholic Parents Online, a program which explores the issues Catholic parents face while raising their children. I'm your host, Colleen Perfect. Mental prayer is a pursuit that isn't fully understood. It isn't just for the deeply religious. And here to explain is Father Robert Altier, a priest from the St. Paul Minneapolis Archdiocese. Hello again, Father.
Thank you, Colleen. It's good to be back.
Thank you. Father, on our last show we talked about vocal prayer, and tonight we're going to be talking about mental prayer. Could you explain what mental prayer is?
Most people, the easiest way to understand it would be to think of contemplative style prayer. It's a silent prayer, it's an interior prayer, and it's just conversation with God. It's not something that's formally laid out like the rosary or like formalized prayers, but rather it's just talking to the Lord in one's own words. It may focus on a particular topic, or it may just be a generic kind of focus on the Lord and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead depending on where a person is at in mental prayer. But it begins with reading a book that's designed for mental prayer, like In Conversation with God, or My Daily Bread, or Divine Intimacy, or Imitation of Christ, something like that that's designed for giving ideas for a person to pray about. You read that little passage, you put the book down, you think about it, you go into the heart, you talk to the Lord about it. It's very simple in that sense. We make it much more complicated than what it needs to be, but really it's just a conversation with God. And the book is there to give a topic to discuss.
Okay, and Father, I want to clarify that this is not centering prayer, correct?
No, it is definitely not. Centering prayer is basically a New Age thing. It's rooted in Buddhism, and it has gotten quite a bit of publicity lately, and people think that centering prayer is the same as mental prayer, but it's not. Centering prayer focuses on the self. And it's to get centered within the self, and it's to be one with the earth and all these other things. Mental prayer focuses on Jesus Christ, and it is to become one with Christ. And so it's not about self-focus, but focus on the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's the difference between where we will go for eternity. If we go to heaven, we're going to focus on Jesus for eternity. If we go the other direction, we're going to focus on ourselves for all eternity. Mm-hmm. So we have our choice. We can start now and focus on ourselves and prepare for eternity away from the Lord, or we can begin now to focus on the Lord and prepare for eternity with Him.
Mm, beautiful. And mental prayer is not just for priests or religious.
No, definitely not. Mental prayer is something that should be practiced by every Christian. Mm-hmm. Mental prayer is the ultimate way of being able to develop that relationship with the Lord. For a Catholic, mental prayer and Mass should go together, because the mental prayer will help us develop that relationship with the Lord to fall more and more in love with Him. And then, of course, the Mass is the sacrifice of Jesus. We receive our Lord in Holy Communion. So mental prayer prepares the heart to receive the Lord. And then in Mass, then we receive our Lord. Mental prayer will help us then to meditate upon what we have received and begin to imitate the Lord more perfectly, thereby making us desire a greater union with the Lord, leading us right back to Mass, where we will receive Him again, and the two work together in that cyclical form. And so it is not just for those who are called to a vocation, to religious life or priesthood, but it truly is for every single Christian person who really wants to love Jesus more and wants to live their faith in a more profound way. It is the way of being able to become united with Jesus, to imitate the Lord. Because of the vocal prayers, even the Mass, tragically, people can keep that at an arm's distance. They can go to Mass and they can go through the motions without ever putting their heart into it. Mental prayer, you can't. It's about the heart. Mm-hmm. And so mental prayer is about changing one's life to become more like Jesus.
And you mentioned how about the books and how to start reading, but could you give us some basic steps to mental prayer?
Sure. The thing to do is, again, have a set time for prayer. Mm-hmm. You have to do that. Keep it like an appointment with Jesus. Mm-hmm. If we had an appointment with the doctor, we would be there. Well, this is an appointment with the ultimate doctor of our souls, and so we want to keep him as the priority. That's what he told us is the greatest commandment, to love God with our whole heart and soul and strength. Mm-hmm. So we want to make him the priority. So set the time. And then what you can do is, a lot of people will read the passage that they're going to pray about the night before, so it's already in their mind, they've already got an idea, they're thinking about it. Then they go to prayer, say it's in the morning that they're going to pray, and then they sit down, they can read their passage again, they can think it through a little bit in their mind, and make images or concepts in the mind to depending on how the mind works. If one is very imaginative or one is more conceptual, analytical, then you work with whatever God has given you. Mm-hmm. When you get the ideas firmly rooted in the mind, then you try to go inside into the heart, which is much easier for women than it is for men to do that. But you try and go down into the heart, and it is there that you converse with the Lord. So that first step in the mind is thinking more in the third person. Put it into Jesus, and you know, they did this to you, they did that to him, things like that. Then you go into the heart, and it's more direct. I should have made that clear on the first part. In the heart, it's more direct to him. They did this to you. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the mind, it's more generic, and they did this to him. So you get the generic picture. Then you talk to the Lord about it on a subjective level.
Okay. And distractions is often a big problem, I know, for most people.
Right. Distractions and dryness are the two things that we hear about the most from people. There are always going to be distractions. Mm-hmm. Even the mystics have distractions. Mm-hmm. As long as we are alive in this body, we are going to have distractions.
Right.
And people need to understand that. Mm-hmm. Distractions can be caused by a variety of reasons. It can be from fatigue. It can be from stress. It can be from anxiety. There can be any number of reasons. Oftentimes, however, they can also be caused by avoiding the Lord. Mm-hmm. We go to prayer, but we're afraid of what he's going to tell us. Mm-hmm. We don't really want to listen to him because we're attached to something that he might be asking us to give up, or he might be asking us to go to the next level of prayer, to go a little deeper, and that's a frightening thing for people, those transitions in prayer. And pretty soon, the mind is racing all over. We're thinking about anything and everything other than the Lord. And so the thing to do with distractions is simply try to push them aside, get right back to the focus of prayer, try to focus again. And the saints tell us if all we do in a period of mental prayer is to try to push away distractions and get refocused, it's prayer well made. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel good, but the Lord is very pleased because we have shown him by our attempt to get rid of those distractions and to be able to focus that we really do want to be focused on him. The dryness is a whole different matter. The dryness is when you try to talk to the Lord and it doesn't seem like anybody's there listening, and things get very difficult sometimes in prayer. The soul almost feels like it's abandoned by God. It's a very important time, and it's actually the most important part of mental prayer. We all like consolations. We like when prayer is pleasant and easy and fun and so on, but that doesn't require a whole lot of love for God.
Mm-hmm.
When prayer is very dry and difficult, that requires a lot of love to show up and to be there and try to keep focused, even when it doesn't seem that the Lord is there.
Mm-hmm.
He is. What he's doing is working on a deeper level in the soul where we haven't achieved that level of prayer yet, but he's preparing the way. And so in those times of dryness, the soul needs to persevere and know that the Lord is purifying things and preparing the soul for a deeper union with himself.
Okay. And then what are the immediate benefits of mental prayer, and what would the long-term benefits be?
Well, the immediate benefits, even the medical society will tell you that people who pray mental prayer have lower blood pressure.
Oh.
So it keeps the stress out. It keeps one at peace. It keeps one much more focused with the Lord. It helps one immediately to grow in virtue, which is going to be a long-term benefit as well. Mm-hmm. As we mentioned earlier, it is what helps us to be able to imitate Christ in all things. Mm-hmm. And so the goal is to become more Christ-like. That's the goal of the Christian life.
Right.
And this is the way to do it. And so little by little, day by day, step by step, we become more like Christ by growing in virtue, growing in charity and love for God and love for neighbor. And that's what this really does. And so it brings us deeper into the mysteries of Christ. It brings us more deeply into the truth, which the church proclaims, the truth who is Jesus Christ. And it helps us to be able to live our Christian life in a more profound manner.
And falling in love with Jesus.
Falling in love with Jesus is what we're supposed to do. Now, again, that's a little easier for women to imagine because Jesus is male, but it has nothing to do with sexuality. It has to do with the fact that Jesus is God.
That's right.
And he loves us, and he loved us to the end. Mm-hmm. And he is asking simply that we would do the same for him, that what we have received, now we can return. And to love him as he loves us.
Father, you're the spiritual director for quite a few people, I know. And those who have been practicing mental prayer over a period of time, you must see a difference in them and a difference in their life, spiritual life.
Oh, a complete difference with some of them. If with somebody that comes for direction that's just at the beginning of mental prayer, and then as they practice this for a number of years, you can watch the difference. And there are different levels of prayer as one goes along, and all that's laid out in the writings, for instance, of St. Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross, who are the real great prayers mm-hmm. in the church, if you want to call it that, those who have written about it. And so you can watch the levels as people go through and watch the changes in their life and watch what's happening in their soul as they become more simple and more focused and more peaceful and calm and virtuous. Mm-hmm. And they just grow in holiness and grow in love for God and grow in charity for all those around them, their husband or their wife, their children, their neighbors. It's just a beautiful thing to watch happen, the transformation that takes place in a person's soul as they become united to Christ and then finally transformed into Christ.
Mm-hmm. I just know personally from my involvement in the Third Order of Carmel that through mental prayer, I know my priorities have changed tremendously. Mm-hmm. And the detachment from so many things that I seem to care about before are just not there anymore.
That's the part of mental prayer that most people are afraid of, is the detachment. Mm. But
it's pure freedom. Your life.
Oh, it's pure freedom and pure joy. When you give something up that you realize is in the way after fighting with God about it for a little while, and all of a sudden you give it up and you wonder, why did I fight? Life is so much more wonderful without this thing. And you realize how much it was really pulling you down. But you thought it was good because society tells us that it is.
Right.
We've got professional advertisers who are paid to tell us these things are good and important for us. And the Lord is trying to tell us, no, they're not. And when we listen to the voice of God, then we are able then to simplify everything and keep focused. But that voice of the Lord, we hear from 1 Kings when Elijah is on Mount Horeb, is a still, sound, silent voice. And so with all the noise in society, all the noise in our lives, most people can't handle the time of silence, let alone being able to hear the voice of God in that still, tiny little sound when there's so much noise all around us. So we have to block that time out and be able to enter into the silence and really come to appreciate that. And that's what happens again in mental prayer. So if somebody's just starting, I would suggest at least 15 minutes a day, and then work that up to at least a half hour, and just set that time aside. Initially, it'll be a little awkward if you're not accustomed to being quiet and silent, but after a while, you long for it, and you long for more and more and more because you see that the soul is being filled to overflowing with the grace of God.
Okay, thank you very much, Father. God calls us to prayer. Is he calling you? We will be right back.
Ave Maria.
mental prayer is intimidating to many people. Here to discuss her personal story, the immediate effects, and the long-term benefits is Nancy Barrett. Welcome to the show, Nancy.
Thank you, Colleen. It's good to be here.
I'm so happy you've joined us tonight.
Thank you.
Nancy, for me, I know becoming a member of the Third Order of Carmel was my introduction to mental prayer, but yours was different. Could you tell us how you were first introduced to mental prayer?
Yes, Colleen. Actually, my husband, Paul, and I have been married for 22 years, and we were blessed with three children, and their ages are 20, 18, and 17, and our 20-year-old, when she was 13, was very attracted to God and the things of God, and she, through influences of two very holy priests who I believe have deep prayer lives, and she was under their influence of spiritual direction, both through the confessional and through one-on-one meetings. She was given very good direction, and this led her to a desire for an interior relationship with our Lord. And because the soul is so delicate, and because at a young age a person's soul is usually not as tarnished by the world as, say, the soul of someone my age, I'm 43, who has sinned and not possibly recognized it at certain stages of my life. Perhaps my conscience was numbed. This child was drawn to God at a very tender early age, where she was so filled with earnesty and sincerity and so drawn to Jesus that he, like a magnet, drew to her. Mm. And she grew very quickly in virtue. She really, truly, we saw holiness in her. When I say holy, that's a very strong word to use, but I think that a holy person is a person set apart. Mm. And my husband and I were fascinated, and we were amazed, because we could see that this was an influence from Almighty God. This was a calling, and not something that we had done. It wasn't because of our example, I'm sorry to say, but actually, I've been taught that there are many ironies in the spiritual life, Colleen, and as God would have it, our daughter was our example. And we kind of took on the philosophy after a while, if you can't beat her, join her. And so I took the plunge, and I did take up the practice of mental prayer, and I just celebrated what I would call my 5-year anniversary at the beginning of April. And actually, Colleen, that means more to me than anything I can imagine in my life. It is a new life. It's a rebirth in God and a complete freedom. I can't recommend it highly enough.
Mm. I apologize. I meant to ask you about your family, Paul, and your children.
That's fine.
Three children.
Yes. Yes, actually, Paul is a fireman in St. Paul and has been for 22 years. And our oldest daughter, Angela, who I already mentioned is 20, is a second-year novice in a contemplative, cloistered Carmelite monastery here in Lake Elmo, Minnesota. Mm. She received her religious name and her holy habit last year, and her religious name and the name that she will be called for the rest of her life, God willing, is Sister Marie-Ange of the Eucharistic Heart. Mm. And we have a son, Paul, who just graduated from St. Agnes High School in St. Paul, and will be attending Inver Hills Community College and playing baseball for them this coming fall.
Good.
And Rose Marie will be a junior at St. Agnes.
They're so just wonderful. I know your children. They're beautiful children. Mm,
thank you, Colleen.
Nancy, getting back to your mental prayer, you found that there were a few things that were kind of intimidating to you in the beginning. You had some apprehensions about some things. Could you talk a little bit about what they were?
I had some deep apprehensions, and these apprehensions caused me to procrastinate for a very long time, Colleen. Mm. I didn't start the practice of mental prayer for several years after it was really introduced to me, the concept and the example of it. And I think that was due primarily to the fact that all of us realize our unworthiness when we are before God. I mean, any of us who attempt, when we approach our Lord in the Holy Eucharist, especially when we're receiving Him in Holy Communion, there ought to be that sense of awe and that sense of approaching the Almighty, the Omnipotent God, who was our Creator and our Redeemer. And while Jesus is all love, and all that Jesus does is love, and He is all merciful, at the same time, we don't want to lose that sense of He is Almighty God. And actually, the gift of the fear of the Lord is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And piety also is a gift of the Holy Spirit, reverence. And so that is something that we want to approach God with always and never become passive or complacent or too relaxed in the presence of our Lord. And I think that I realized in that sense that while I desired the prayer and I believed that God desired for me to pray, and of course He desires every one of us to pray, I had that fear of approaching Him, that sense of this is God and this is little me, and I don't really know how to make that connection. Mm. I'm not worthy. And the second apprehension I had was the fear of not persevering. Oh. I realized that this is a lifetime commitment, and it's one thing to make a vow before Almighty God to your husband, mm-hmm. and that is an awesome thing. But when you sit down and tell the Lord that you are going to set aside this time every single day for your life, you don't want to renege on God.
That's right.
And so this influence of our daughter really did. I mean, the Lord gave me a big shove there and said, go do it, because you don't understand her as I would like you to, and you're not as charitable to her as you ought to be. She's real. You're not. You don't understand that she's real because you can't. And so please come closer to me, and I will show you who you are. And you will have to face that, and then you will have to start changing. And that was the immediate effects and benefits of mental prayer, was the self-knowledge.
So. Nancy, you say it, put it so beautifully. I mean, you have taken it seriously.
I do.
That was my next question. Why do you believe so strongly that contemplative prayer is the most beneficial thing you can do for your soul?
Well, Colleen, we all know that we have to have oxygen to breathe. Mm-hmm. And just as the body requires air in order to live, the soul requires spiritual air. Mm-hmm. And that to me is prayer. Mm-hmm. And I really look at the world and I look at myself before prayer. And that's one of the eighth wonder of the world. How did I survive without this prayer in my life?
Yeah, I know.
And also, I have to wonder why for generations, from way back, every man, woman, and child was not introduced to this concept from the very young age. Mm-hmm. Because as St. Teresa of Avila tells us, Colleen, mental prayer is the highway, the royal highway to heaven. Mm-hmm. And St. John of the Cross tells us that we will be judged at the end of our life, we will be judged by life, by love. And the only way that we can really know how to love is to know God, truly know Him. We can't love someone we don't know.
That's right.
And we can't know somebody that we don't speak to. But we have to quiet ourselves and listen, mm-hmm. because we have to know what it is that God wants us to know. And so that's what mental prayer is. And as Father said previously, through the series of detachments that we experience, and you know, Colleen, there is a price to pay there. Mm-hmm. The freedom comes after the work.
Right.
And it does cost us, because we are so attached to ourselves and the concepts that we've grown up with. Mm-hmm. We are so worldly mm-hmm. in our thinking, and we love everything that's sophisticated and everything that's like everybody else.
Right.
And we have to shut all that out and really look honestly inwardly, but find God. And this isn't something that's in our head.
Right.
When we go to have that communion with our Lord, that is deep in the heart.
Mm. So Nancy, as a wife and a mother, what advice would you give to women who say, well, I want that, I need that, but my life is just too busy, I can't take out 15 minutes or a half an hour to do that?
Well, that's exactly why they better. They're not
right.
going to get through their day, okay?
Right.
I mean,
But what good advice would you give them?
Oh.
Real concrete, practical advice.
As Father said, we need to set aside a certain time every day for prayer.
Right.
Ideally, for a mom, even for a dad, it's not always possible to set that same time aside. And the important thing is not to become discouraged.
Right.
In my 5 years of praying, Colleen, I missed 2 days. And they were very sad days. And I think back to the hours, the way I spent those days, and I ask myself, and I still do, and I've got to let it go. It's something I'm attached to. Mm-hmm. How could I live that day differently?
Oh.
To get that mental prayer in, because I missed out. And my husband even noticed. He said to me, I was crabby on one of those days, and I remember he looked at me and said, "You haven't prayed today, have you?"
Really?
And I said, "Wow." You know, because
Nancy.
He used to think of it as, "Oh, there she's going to spend another couple hours at church." But then he started realizing that I had more energy, uh-huh. I was happier, I had an interior joy and peace, and I was able to get a lot more done mm-hmm. than I ever was before. I became better organized, mm-hmm. and I was able to receive spontaneous changes in my life, which I really have a hard time with, mm-hmm. in a much better way.
That reminds me, I just have to add, my husband, when I go to my Carmelite meetings, my prayer time, he asks me if I've been Carmelized.
Oh, that's so cute.
That's a sweet way of saying that he appreciates the way I am, I think, after I've spent time with the Lord in mental prayer.
Well, and Colleen, that's why you and I think, have such a beautiful relationship, because when two souls are praying, you understand one another. There's just less of an opportunity to judge, to criticize, to complain. There's more of an acceptance and an understanding.
Right. Yeah, I agree, Nancy. Could you tell us a few of the good books that you would recommend for anyone to read?
I can tell you, but I might not take the same route that I would be advised, for instance, by a priest, because I was advised to read In Conversation with Christ, or it's called Conversation with Christ, mm-hmm. and it's based on St. Teresa of Avila. And on the top of my head, I cannot recall the author, but it's probably the most famous book that's recommended for beginning mental prayers. And I have to tell you honestly, Colleen, that I didn't understand it very well.
Well, some are difficult.
And so I read a book called Self-Abandonment to Divine Providence, mm-hmm. written by a very beautiful French priest who was a spiritual director of contemplative nuns.
Yes.
And that book I hated to put down. It was just beautiful, and it helped me. There was another book I read that I loved that was about the diary of a woman who I think is an actress. And she lived a very deep contemplative life. She traveled, and it's called He and I. And, of course, it's about the interior life with God.
Mm-hmm.
I Want to See God, a beautiful book by another French priest that really tells you all the stages of mental prayer and really delves into the different problems and helpfulness of mental prayer.
Thank you for that. And we'll put that on our website also, Nancy.
Wonderful.
Well, I just thank you so much for being here and sharing all this with us, Nancy. It's a joy to hear you.
Do you have time for me to say this?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
This is a quote from St. John of the Cross that just is so poignant, I think. "Since you know now that your beloved lives hidden within your heart, strive to be truly hidden with him, and you will embrace him within you and experience him with loving affection."
Thank you very much, Nancy.
God bless you, Colleen.
God bless you. Open your hearts to the Holy Spirit and allow Jesus to enter in. Pray. Please pray. Thanks for watching. God bless you and yours.